If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
I'm thinking about, like, once you start having a family, it's like, how does Ramadan change? Huh. Right? Because, you know, that might be a possibility. Yo, yesterday, you know, like, when you're about to finish the prayer, like, sometimes they take a little bit longer. Mm. And, like, the way I had my knee bent, it was, like, just before you could, like, crack your knee. And I couldn't, like, readjust because it was just so tight. So I was sitting there, like, in that awkward stage where I was about to crack my knee. And it was the worst pain.
Why didn't you... Oh, you can't extend
I can't
prayer?
Extend... Yeah, exactly. And also the people were right next to me. Like, what am I going to do, right? I couldn't even readjust. So, yeah, I was kind of... That happens a lot, man. Tarawih pains, man. Sure. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of The Cousin.
Connection.
Is that too fast?
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of The Cousin
Connection podcast.
I'm going to keep that all in.
Okay, fine.
It's okay, man. It's just a time here, man.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we're filming this in dangerous hours right now. It's
accept us as we are.
Yeah, it's about an hour or two before iftar, so like...
An hour and a half now.
Right? This is like when your energy is
I'm actually okay.
Really?
By the time I got home, it was just, it didn't make sense for me to sleep and then wake up again for suhoor. And Sabrina is also at my house. My cousin's at my house. So we were like, you know, let's just stay up.
What? And you're still good?
No, I went to sleep.
Oh, okay. That's why.
But when I
you did mention that. Yeah.
The post-Fajr sleep, the way that it hit, like, it was like deep sleep, REM sleep.
We don't get that luxury anymore.
Why?
We have cats.
Oh.
Yeah. And like, we thought, okay, what we thought is, you know, we'll feed the cats because this is around their feeding time anyways when it was Fajr. Like, of course, it's like maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes before that by the time we're going to sleep. So we just fed them because usually if we don't, then they'll come to our door. For some reason, they still came to our door at like not even 8 o'clock, like 7 something,
maybe
an hour after
snack.
We went to sleep. No. It was only an hour after. Like, at that point, they literally were like just knocking on our door purely to annoy us, like just to get access to us.
They wanted to play.
Probably, I don't know, but there's two of them. They can play with each other.
Yeah, that's why you got two, right?
I guess so. Yeah, but it didn't work in this case. They literally, all they did was come into the room. One of them jumped onto the bed, just started walking over us, and the other, and then the other one, the other one just starts coughing in our room.
That's the worst.
It's keeping us awake.
if they're coughing, you're like, are they about to throw up? I need to jump out of my
exactly.
bed. Oh my god, that's I don't miss that part.
And then they start going into our blinds, and you start hearing like sounds. So you're like, are you chewing our blinds? That was a fear. It was it's just preparing us, you know, for the future.
Exactly.
Having kids, inshallah. You know,
this is what your future.
Yeah, where sleep is no longer yours.
Exactly.
You no longer own your sleep hours.
Like, and I would say sleep when the cats sleep, but they literally take naps all day, so.
For real. Actually, we just annoy them during, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it's payback.
They're paying us back for annoying.
You're not supposed to wake up a sleeping cat.
But like, they're so cute. You know, you just want to pet them.
I know.
Yeah.
But...
You just want to, just walk around, just grab them, you kiss them on the head.
And they're like, yeah, I'm plotting your demise.
For real.
Just
wait. The way one of them looks at us, Verso, Nagat. Half the time it looks like he's plotting because he like has perpetual, I can't say that word, mean face.
The RBF.
Yeah. So
yeah.
He always looks like he's plotting. The other one's super cute. Etsy. Have you ever mentioned their names here? I don't know if you ever mentioned their names, but him. He's usually chill. Like he's a bigger boy.
Oh, the bigger one.
Yeah, he's the one. Like when you pull up to him, he'll immediately show his belly. And be like,
that's
scratch
so
me now. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe Verso is just a little bit like, it's a personality balance.
Exactly.
They can't both be the same.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
That's
so
fair.
We definitely show more love to one of them, which is why he's probably the bigger boy.
Stop, you're going to cause sibling rivalry. Don't do that.
And
is
I
that
like,
him?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can hear, but she's saying Verso's sweeter. The mic's right there. You can just... say right into it. I'm just saying. No? Okay, forget it. She looked at it like, no. Is it on? Huh? It's always on, technically. Is it? Oh, were you about to cough? That's another thing.
Are you guys sick?
I feel... No. Okay, I was sick. You know I was sick. Like two... What did I say? Was it 2-3 weeks ago? Something mm-hmm. like that? Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced at this point that... Like, first off, we do know that COVID is still around. But I'm convinced that, like, I'm, like, getting... I have long COVID symptoms right now.
I wouldn't even call it COVID. Listen, am I back in my conspiracy era? What? Yes, I am back in my conspiracy theory era.
What'd you call it?
I think...
Yeah.
COVID was all a hoax.
You're on that boat now?
Yeah. I just think they probably... released some kind of like strain of the flu or pneumonia or bronchitis.
So it's still a flu then?
Yeah, it's just one of those.
That was more deadlier than the regular flu.
They just gave it, okay, hear me out, okay? I know a lot of people lost their lives and so mm-hmm. I'm not trying to diminish that.
Yeah.
When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. You're either going to get killed by something or you're just going to pass away in your sleep. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, our time is our time. That's all I have to say about that. Are you saying
COVID was an inside job?
Yes.
What? Oh, okay, like
they purposely? Wanted to control the population.
So what,
they
said, around the whole world?
Yes. You didn't hear what Bill Gates had to say?
Well, with everything going on in
look into it.
The Middle East right now.
Look into it. Listen, okay, I'm not going to lie. Like there was a period of time.
I'm going to blame this on Ramadan brain.
No, but I stopped looking into it now because I just mm-hmm. needed a mental, like the more you look into these things.
Was this a TikTok like? Wormhole?
It was. And then I started Googling and I was just like, man, mm-hmm. why am I doing this to myself? Like,
yeah.
You know, now I don't trust anything.
And like, wait, Bill Clinton?
No, I said Bill Gates.
Oh, Bill Gates. Oh, okay.
Bill Clinton doesn't know anything mm-hmm. about anything.
Sorry, no. Maha? Who's Maha? Oh, Maha is make. Oh, okay, okay. I forgot. Oh, yeah. What's his name? What's the dude who runs that again? The dude who can't talk and like has the probably the most annoying voice to ever hear.
Are you trying to compare me to him?
No. I'm just trying to remember what his name was.
I don't know.
Robert, not is it JFK? No, not JFK. RFK. What? RFK. Yeah, Robert Kennedy.
Who's
yeah.
that?
That's the guy who runs the health division, whatever, of the American government, whatever.
Well, okay. I'm not even going to speak on America because... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot going down there yeah. right now. It's affecting us. Like, chill, bro.
Yeah, but I will say that for the rest of the world, mm-hmm. the fact that Canada is so easily influenced, maybe not as much now. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mark Carney has a little bit of a backbone. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that he's saying, no, we're not actually going to help you attack Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, respect him for that.
Yeah.
But we'll see when the time comes and push comes to shove.
Wasn't there that there was a whole conspiracy, speaking of conspiracies, of, like, a false flag operation? I think Hanan actually brought it up to me of, like,
yeah.
happening in Canada that would bring Canada into it.
Yesterday's thing.
And
there
goods?
Was, like, a, yeah. Yeah. Like, goods day. Yeah. And I saw, like, all these, like, but you know what the other thing I hate is?
Mm-hmm.
The fear-mongering.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much fear-mongering happening online. And I saw this video that someone shared saying like, oh, share this video, there's gonna be a false flag, there's gonna mm-hmm. look at the searches that are happening and is not real, like this is what they're searching, and it was mm-hmm. like bombing Canada, Toronto,
yeah,
Eaton Center, like that kind of stuff, and they were like, stay away from the Eaton Center tomorrow, like,
yeah, we went to Sherway instead then.
But like, you know what I mean, I just feel like the fear monger, like this is very, it's giving like the prelude to World War III.
Everybody thinks that it's gonna be another World War III, but like I don't know if that's actually gonna happen, man. Like at this point, I feel like the world is
not hearsay. They're all just like talking and like they're trying to fear monger.
The thing is that no one is talking. Everybody's kind of backing away and being like, okay, America, you messed up here.
Mm.
We're not going to back you up. Everyone's turning their back essentially on America right now. So mm-hmm. if anything, I'm seeing a fall of an empire. That's what I see happening.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah. Like, it. I think I was watching a video today of, like, the things that lead up to the fall of an empire, like, the stages.
Mm.
And, like, America's, like, hit every stage perfectly at this point.
Really?
So, yeah, it's, like, a matter of time. I'm sorry to my American. Well, she's like, I don't care. We claim
her now. She's Canadian. What are you talking
about? Exactly. We're going to make it official soon. Don't worry. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Government, come on. Send us our papers, man.
But like, you know, I just, I feel like who America backs or is like who they have, who is wrapped around their finger, who they have wrapped around their finger. No. Basically, the fact that the America and the U.S. is so riding so hard for Israel, it's almost like they're making them do all their dirty work for them.
Yeah. That's,
you know, and now the U.S. is suffering because of that. And I'm sure, I think now people have seen through, they've seen through the smoke and mirrors for Trump, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so even the ones that were like hardcore Trump supporters are now like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for.
Yeah.
Especially when they started like, are we allowed to use the BOMB word? Maybe not.
You did use it once.
I did
already,
use it once. Yeah. Okay.
We'll
so
see if I crop, not crop it out.
Bleep it out.
Bleep it out. Yeah.
But the fact that they decided to like bomb a school, it just doesn't make sense. I feel like, you know, if you're going to, actually, I shouldn't justify any acts of war or destruction, but why would you try and bomb innocent civilians? Whereas Iran's tactic or move is like, let me bomb all of the U.S.
Well, that's been their MO forever, right?
Yeah.
Like, we saw it. I think we kind of knew what their plan was going to be with Iran by like what they did in Palestine. So it's sad, but it's not surprising.
That's
and in
true.
This case, I think even the one that happened with the school that was bombed in Iran, like with the girls' school, that was done by America, because they even before everything that happened in Palestine, America was actually known for doing a lot of war crimes and just getting away with it because they were the world leader. They could do whatever they wanted, right?
Yeah.
And even the way that their, you know, Secretary of War is first off, okay, there was a president who was talking about not, I mean, Trump at the time was running saying like, I'm anti-war, right? And his first thing to do that he did when he first came into office, or one of the first things he did, was change the name of the secretary or the Department of Defense to the Department of War. That should have been the first red flag. Like, how could everybody be surprised that they would be such warmongers after changing their name to the Department of War instead of Defense?
I think
it literally, like, it should, you guys should have seen the writing on the wall already. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I think BB has something on Trump, and that's why he's like just doing whatever he wants him to do.
I don't even think they have to have anything on them. I feel like it's all motivated by money and, like, you know,
Israel's, I mean, the U.S. is going to get money from Israel.
Connections. What?
That the U.S. is going to get money from Israel, or that they're going to collectively dominate.
Yeah. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about like the Epstein files as well, and like how everybody's saying like Epstein probably was like a Mossad agent as well, which is like their CIA, I guess, or spies, I guess. It does make sense that he would, because he's already mentioned 5,000 times in it.
Yeah,
5,000 plus times in the papers. Or
why
the
do you
files?
Think they magically stopped releasing files all of a sudden?
Yeah, illegally, by the way.
Yeah, but like, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think they have something on him that would have, like, for actually, you know what? Just to kind of like stop for a second, he should have never been able to become president in the first place. Just knowing his track record and what he's been held accountable for thus far.
Yeah, you know what's funny is, like, if he did not become president, like, he was literally desperate to become president, because if he did not become president, he would have been arrested and put in jail. Because he was found guilty on, you know how everybody's talking about the 34 felonies, right? He was found guilty on those felonies. And
hold on.
What?
So just because he got elected as president, he
because
was.
Because the Supreme Court essentially ruled that, like, the president can never do anything that's illegal in a way. Like, I think that's.
Or never held maybe accountable.
Maybe that's the most simplest way of saying it, but essentially, a president can't do anything illegal.
No,
they can't be held accountable for it. They can't be held accountable for it. Yeah,
that's a crazy law. That's actually like, is no one else concerned about that?
Yeah, which is why they're kind of scared that he will continue to work with this whole towards this whole like 2028 plan, because once he's no longer in office, you know, Democrats are in power at that point, you know, they could go after him. And that could be a thing that him, not only him, but him and everyone who's been doing illegal things, including like Pam Bondi and Christy Noem and RFK. I don't know if RFK has been doing anything illegal, essentially, but he has been doing a lot of shady weird thing. Stuff because he is in the Epstein files as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. They're all in the Epstein files, man. Mm-hmm. If you're a man and you're within like the boomer age, you're essentially, and you're like in some level of power at the moment, you're probably in the files. Yeah.
And it's not even, it's not even limited to this color people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening, I mean palm color people. The black people, y'all disappointing. Will Smith. Oh, was Obama in there?
Was he in there?
No. Will Smith was in the Diddy stuff, right?
Was he?
Will Smith is not innocent.
Yeah, he, I don't think he is.
He's either. Not innocent.
Yeah, yeah. Especially I'm with all just... the... What was it that happened with his wife? What did she call it again? There was that famous word that everybody memed him for. Oh my God, I'm forgetting it right now. Intermingle or like something like that.
Was it it was like an open relationship?
Yeah, but like she called it a word and everybody like made
entanglement.
Entanglement. Yeah. He's probably in a lot of entanglements right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think like it's a very interesting time to be in, to see all of the truth finally coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
And it being so like blatantly obvious, and some people still just the fact that the media is being so controlled, like, and the fact that social media is still in a place where it's not as specifically curated, like you can really get exposed to anything.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Which is
it's a good and a bad thing.
You know, on a lighter note, it's not really doing much favors to my mom because now with AI and stuff.
Oh.
Like, first off, speaking of the cats from earlier, like, I found out my mom hates our cats. Like she doesn't hate our cats. She hates the fact that we have cats
because
she's constantly sending me videos, AI videos. Like, one of them would be, like, a cat or a lady sleeping in her bed. It would be, like, black and white because it's at nighttime. And the cat would, like, come up and, like, rip her head up. Not literally, but, like, start scratching her and attacking her. It's clearly AI just from the sound and everything. And then she'll send me another one where it'll be, like, the 10 facts about how cats can slowly kill you or something like that.
You know why I'm laughing?
Why?
Because my mom sends me videos. And I'm like, girl, we don't even have cats.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, look at this. This baby did like Taekwondo. I mean,
she's like, if you ever even thought.
Yeah. She's like, get the thought out of your head. You're not getting another cat. It's just, you know what though?
What?
I do be falling for some AI videos.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
They are getting really, really
like,
good.
Like it's kind of scary, and I only find out when it's always the same way that people expose that it's AI now is like, oh my God, I'm screwed when I get older. I'm screwed. Because and then you're like, realize, wait,
what do you mean?
Yeah, I'm like, what do you? This isn't real. And then I try to look for like key indicators, but there's nothing that I'm like, how would you even know?
A lot of times, if it has sound, you almost can right away tell. Like some of the sounds don't line up, or even the way that the person talks a lot of times is not really. It doesn't sound the clearest. Does that make sense? Like, I know sometimes what you it mean. Has like a little bit of like a robot-y kind of like undertone.
Yeah. But remember that? Remember when we were first talking about the evolution of AI a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And you showed me that example video of like, it was an AI video, but it was showing like interviewing people at like a conference or something like that. And
it was really well done. Yeah.
Like, see? I would have fallen for that.
Mm-hmm. So things like that really do give it away. But a lot of the times, like, there are still, at least for now, ways to tell. Like they say a lot of times, look in the background, look for inconsistencies. Look at even the angle of which the videos are taken. A lot of times are like always the same in AI. And they're not usually longer than like 7 to 15 seconds, because most AI generators currently for video don't give you longer than 15-second videos. Yeah, so people will have to either stitch them together, or the video itself will not be longer than 15 seconds. So those are like clear things to tell. And then other things are like the sound, like I mentioned, or like the consistency of the people. But now even that's like kind of...
It's gone pretty good.
Yeah, that one's gone really good. That one's not really a thing that you can tell anymore.
You guys better be taking notes, because I know y'all be falling for those AI videos like us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but recently, my mom sent me a video of like how like plants are making meat out of rats. And it literally shows like an assembly line of like rats going into a machine. It's like they're like being chopped down, and then sausage is coming out, and it shows like the workers being interviewed. I'm like, this is AI. She can't tell.
I just know this is her. Okay, she's watching it. like this, and she's like, you see? I can't even do it.
Oh my god.
I can just picture her, like, I can picture her, like, having a whole dialogue. Mm-hmm.
And then showing it to all her sisters, because yeah, she's in Ethiopia right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But... she probably sends them to my mom, too, and that's how I get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so AI is getting there, man. I'm telling you right now. But speaking of AI, so I'm, like, jumping around here.
Yeah.
But have you heard of Claudebot AI?
No, what is that?
Claudebot is basically, like, people have found out that using a pretty basic computer, you can kind of create your own AI assistant. Okay. Think of, like, Jarvis from Iron Man.
Okay. Who the hell's Jarvis?
Okay, just think of an AI assistant. Okay, just generally an AI assistant.
Okay,
like,
okay, some, okay.
Like an assistant that you would normally hire,
yeah,
you can make into an AI bot. So, like, you want it to go through your emails. You can say, okay, you know, go through these emails, delete all the ones that are, like, just, what do you call them again? Spam or whatever.
Yeah.
You can even train it on your own voice by saying, okay, go through my emails, learn my voice, and then reply to emails for me. That's just an email thing. But, like, you say, like, make a reservation for me at this place for this time on this day.
Have we really become that lazy?
Hey, people already do it, but they have, not AI, assistants already. So
I know,
they're just adding the AI to it.
Like, I understand, mm-hmm. like, let's say, I don't know, maybe you're on a walk or you're on, mm-hmm. you're on the go, you're somewhere,
yeah.
you're moving, and someone calls you and says, hey, Amir, I tell you, don't forget, we have this thing next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kind of hands-free at the moment. Let's say you're on a run.
Yeah.
Like, okay, no problem. And you'll be like, okay, Google, da-da-da-da, whatever, yeah. remind me. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But if you're just sitting down mm-hmm. on the couch and you're like, going through your emails is a tough task, so mm-hmm. I understand that one. But, like, make a reservation for me for this restaurant on this day. Like, mm-hmm. why can't you just go into your phone and do that yourself?
You might not have the time. Maybe you're thinking about it and you know that you're going to forget about it doing it later. You could literally just tell it to do it now and you don't even have to worry about it. Like, mm-hmm. another thing that you can connect it to is your text. So you can connect it to your WhatsApp or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the way that you interact with the AI is through WhatsApp. So you literally message it on WhatsApp. And
that's interesting.
And let's say you want to put together a party. Right? You can say, hey, so can you message all my friends? And let's say it already knows who all your friends are and tell them, hey, I'm planning on having an event, blah, blah, blah. At this time, this day, just let me know if you can come. And it sends this message to all your friends on WhatsApp and, like, writes it in your voice and replies in your voice and gets all that information, correlates it, and tells you, okay, like, these are the people who said they're willing to attend. These are people who say they can't attend. What else? Like, simple things like that.
While that, like, sounds
menial
all cool.
Not menial tasks, yeah.
Are you not creeped out?
What?
The fact that it can learn your tone of voice, how you text, your friends.
Well, that's the thing you're giving away, right? But this is all local. This is all your own server that you're running right now. And you just mm-hmm. buy a PC. People have been doing it with a Mac Mini because that's, like, the easiest way. And a lot of tutorials are out there to do it with a Mac Mini. But, yeah, and it's all, like, on your own device. And I've been thinking about it, like, oh, maybe I have certain pieces. I can maybe put something together like that myself, because, like, a lot of times I'm thinking recently I've been thinking about, like, localizing a lot of things. Like, you know, you have Google Drive mm-hmm. or let's say you have iCloud
mm-hmm.
and you are limited to what are you limited to if you don't pay?
5 gigs.
5 gigs, right? And you pay is, like, what is it? Do you pay for iCloud right now?
Yeah.
How much would you pay a month?
I think it's like $12 for 2 terabytes.
A month.
Yeah.
See, so if you wanted to, you could literally just buy 2 terabytes, or you'd have to buy 2 of them. So, like, let's say you buy 4 terabytes and that costs you like $200.
Mm.
And then you just have to build a little home server and you can back up everything to your own home server. So you have it locally. So let's say you stop paying for your iCloud. What happens to that information?
It gets lost.
It gets lost, right? But now you have it at home and it's backed up. Because usually when you make your own, they call it a NAS,
like a cloud,
like your own cloud, essentially.
Yeah.
You have to have double redundancy in there. So let's say one of your hard drives fails, at least another one has a backup of your information.
So,
but once you have that,
it's like a drive of some sorts that you can add to your phone.
Yeah. It's like an iCloud that you add to your own phone, but it's your own personal iCloud.
You know how to do that?
Yeah. It's easy. There's so many tutorials to do it now. It costs money. Of course, it has like a big, what does it
upfront cost?
Upfront cost. But once you have it forever and it's yours. You don't have to worry about paying a subscription. Like $12 a month, a year, what is that? 12 times 12, 144?
I believe we split it.
What?
You knew that from your
old from Kuman days?
Yeah. But
what?
Funny enough, like funny that you think I could do that or figure it out.
No, but okay, even if you can't do it.
You can.
Yeah, I can probably do it still. Yeah.
Have you tried it though?
What?
Have you tried it?
Well, that's the next thing I'm thinking of doing. But right now, because of the whole like memory issue that's going on, like I don't know if you know about this, but there's a huge RAM shortage in all of the world because of AI, ironically.
Whoa.
What?
How?
Because essentially one of the major manufacturers of consumer RAM, which is the memory that you put in your computer, they basically stopped making consumer products and are purely just giving their products to AI companies.
Are they the only company that makes RAM?
There's very few companies. There's like two or three companies in the world that make RAM for consumers. When I say consumers, like you and I, like if you wanted to go to the store and buy your own memory, these are the people we buy it from. And a major piece of that is gone now.
What? It's gonna sound like a dumb question.
What?
Okay, because like I know like what RAM is, but like how do you conceptualize it into a physical thing that you buy? Like how do you make RAM?
Oh, think about it like shoot, you've seen RAM before. It's like a memory stick. Have you seen a memory stick? The ones that are in computers and
isn't
stuff.
Is that thing that has little teeth on the ends?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like square, right?
Yeah, it's like a rectangular shape.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that, exactly. Yeah.
So they make that thing.
Yeah, but it's in everything. It's including, it's in your SD cards. It's in your hard drives. It's in, like, sophisticated hard drives. It's in your SSDs. Like, anything that you store information in will also include a little bit of RAM. So the cost of all that stuff went up. But RAM itself, like, the sticks of them, like, let's say you bought a card last year for $100. It could be $800 now.
What?
Yeah, that's how significant the jumps are.
How hard?
Or like $400 or $500.
How hard is it to make RAM?
No, it's extremely hard. That's why there's only two or three companies like Taiwan who make it.
Interesting.
Yeah, because like the tools that are needed to make it.
Yeah.
There's like one or two in the world.
What?
Yeah, it's very very.
I'm surprised limited. No one has like looked into investing into this.
Yeah, but it costs so much, like the upfront cost of it.
Yeah.
And if your motivation for getting into the market is to start making consumer products, like you're not going to make money off of it because the margins they had before, like when they, let's say they made a stick of RAM, it cost them $50 to make. They sell it for $80. They're only making $30 on that. So, but when they sell it to our AI company now, they're maybe making $500 on each piece instead of just $30. So to them, it just made economical sense to give up on their consumer products, even though they're like, if they try to come back, they might, you know. No, if they come back, people will buy from them. They just know that it's a win-win situation for them. Whether they give up on their consumers, which they did, and move on to AI companies, or if they try to do both. But if they try to do both, they'd actually make less money. So maybe not win-win. But yeah, so that's the whole thing. How did I talk about RAM?
Because you said there was
Shortage. Because I was saying making the AI bus. But yeah, if it becomes economical, like I'm going to move to fully just doing everything locally. So you're not kind of connected. You're not having to pay like these. So my goal is to no longer pay subscriptions to anything, including like streaming websites, anything like that.
Then how are you going to stream anything?
You can get everything online these days. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Well, YouTube, but also, you know, if you want to watch movies and stuff, you might have to wait a little bit longer. But, you know, there's ways of getting these things, man. You know what I'm talking about.
AKA, don't talk about that online. Take this part out.
Ah, it doesn't matter. It's whatever.
Illegal.
It's okay.
You can't admit
to it. I didn't say anything illegal. You're implying something that I did not say, Sarah. Okay? I did not say it. I just said there are ways of getting things. You know, Blu-rays, DVDs, all those things.
Who
I'm just saying.
Who even makes those anymore?
We're not here to get into the technicalities, okay?
Who even? I haven't seen a CD in so long.
Well, you can buy digital. There you go. Yeah, exactly. I was talking purely about buying digital and storing it locally. Okay? Yeah, so what were we talking about originally? First, I forgot.
Me too.
So, next week is going to be Eid.
Oh, yeah. We didn't acknowledge that. Let's just acknowledge that for a second. Yeah. There was a segment that I wanted to pivot to. This is a very hard, awkward pivot, okay? Yeah. But it is what it is. So by the time you're listening to this, it may or may not be Eid. Mm-hmm. But if it is, then Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
I wanted to just kind of talk about, like, I know right now for us it's still within the last 10 days, but like, I guess Ramadan reflections and, you know, what we're going to do, what we've learned and what we'll take with us post the month leaving.
Yeah. Well, ironically enough, like, actually, maybe this is one of the du'as being answered, right? Because when I was in Umrah, one of the du'as, you know, everybody says, you know, make me a better Muslim, but like, what is it, a more worshipping Muslim? How would you say like, that?
Like, allow me to increase my ibadah.
Exactly. You know, this is why Sada's here, guys, okay? I can't remember these things. But yeah, so that was one of the asks that I had. Mm. And that was definitely like a big change this year in Ramadan. Mm. Like, I've definitely felt very spiritually connected in every Ramadan, but like this one, there was more work. Does that make sense? Yeah, so there's a lot more actually like physically going, praying Taraweeh, trying to focus on the Quran. Of course, the Quran, usually I'll listen to it when I'm driving to and from work. Usually I found that the best time I can stay focused is when I'm driving. Yeah. So I kind of do it then.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just feel like I've done a lot more work this Ramadan.
Yeah.
And that's definitely been a big change for me. Because before, I used to, like, if I did do Taraweeh, it would be like once or twice a week, something like that. Mm. And if other than that, I'd maybe do it at home. But this time it's like going to the masjid and actually doing that.
Yeah, like building those habits.
Exactly.
I saw this post that was saying like Ramadan shows you that you are capable of building these habits that you always talk about and you like wish, like, oh, I wish I could do like extra sunnah prayers. It's like you're standing for, you know, Taraweeh 20 rakahs sometimes.
An hour,
like,
and a half, man.
You totally have it in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that during this month, like obviously it's a blessed month, right? But like it really has a way of, for a lot of us Muslims, like, we have this like newfound motivation, even I think, because we know that of course the rewards are maximizable. Is that a word?
Yeah,
maximized.
Maximized.
I made up a word. Yeah. But you know, multiply. We know that it's going to be multiplied.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, that's whatever. Okay, they know what you're talking about.
But so maybe that's our motivating factor. But even after Ramadan, after we stop praying Taraweeh, like there are so many, like, that doesn't mean you stop your tahajjud or even like praying the duha prayer once the sun rises, like just like finding ways to remain spiritually connected outside of Ramadan in hopes that the next Ramadan you do even better than the last one. Like, that's always going to be our hope. But you're right, I would say like this Ramadan I definitely feel a lot more connected spiritually than I did last year. I was struggling. Like, it was very hard, and I just remember feeling so down because it was again like post Umrah, and I really just wanted to be in a Muslim country, but I didn't know how to articulate it last year. And so I think if you guys remember watching like our episodes last Ramadan, like I was trying to say it but just didn't know how. And I feel like this year it really like became clear to me that the reason why I guess I was so like longing to be in a Muslim country during Ramadan is because it's easier to do ibadah, but there's also reward in the struggle here.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you have to drive to the masjid, or you have to, you know, you're racing home from work to go make iftar and then eat really quickly. Like, there's reward in the struggle. And I think it's just remembering that and finding, you know, your own ways to like do what you can and don't strive for the impossible. Strive for what's possible, what you can do within your limits. And I think that's where you can find like the sweetness of worship, you know? So I guess that's like a reflection that I had. And it's like pushing myself to do things that I like to maximize my time.
Yeah.
Because we, especially with daylight savings, at first I was like, oh man, like we're going to have to fast an extra hour. I'm going to be so tired. And like, alhamdulillah, I really feel like this Ramadan, like the hunger wasn't something that, it was like an afterthought.
It depends. It depends on the day.
It does depend on the day, but there are maybe like 3 days max that I was like, oh my God, I'm going to faint.
Well, for me, it's like the day of the week. The weekends, for some reason, I always feel it more. On the weekdays, I feel almost nothing.
Because you're busy working.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, I'm moving around a lot.
Yeah.
Which is ironic. Like, the days that I'm not moving as much is when I feel it the most. But yeah, during the weekdays, it's like, you know, it's you get, I get home and it feels like I'm already breaking my fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, when you're at work and like your non-Muslim colleagues will be like, oh, I feel so sorry for you. I don't know how you're doing it. Like you're fasting for 12 hours. And mm-hmm. I'm like, don't you do a 16-hour fast? Mm-hmm. Don't you do 16-8? Like, what are you talking about? Like, okay, yeah, you can drink water, tea, and coffee. Like, mm-hmm. fantastic. But I think people, I don't want, like, if you're a non-Muslim and you're listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. we don't want your pity. We're actually happily fasting. This is where we feel the most nourished and spiritually, like, quenched, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so while there is struggle for some people that, like, struggle more than others, we are not oppressed. We're not, like, unhappy. Like, we feel sadness when Ramadan ends. Mm-hmm. I know as kids, like, we would be excited because it's Eid, and, like, we are excited for Eid, of course. Mm-hmm. But there, it comes now as adults, I feel like there's, it's, like, excitement with sadness. Like, oh, mm-hmm. man. I think because we know deep down that, like, the spiritual high will slowly come to a decline mm-hmm. eventually, like, after the month ends. So I think I've been a little bit more cognizant of, like, when we are talking about Ramadan, especially at work.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, my God, I feel so sorry for you. Like, don't worry. And I'm like, no, you know, actually it's fine. Like mm-hmm. I'm okay. And yeah. and I think it's just reminding them that fasting is not torture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we're actually very fortunate. We're blessed that we can fast and then have a variety of foods to break our fast with. And there are so many of our Muslim brothers and sisters that actually don't have that option. Mm-hmm. So they break their fast when they can get food.
Yeah, basically.
So it's just, I think, being cognizant of like how we view the month too and not speaking about it in a negative way, but also just being grateful. Mm-hmm. You know, like it really does teach you to be grateful for what we have, and I think it also helps in terms of like the gluttony.
Oh yeah.
You know, like the overconsumption that
was actually a big difference this year too, actually, for us, is like, because neither of us were technically with our parents this whole month this time. Like my mom's back in Ethiopia. Mm. My dad, he's working and like, you know, he's doing his own thing at that point. And like her parents are in Dallas. So we were just doing this ourselves. And like that kind of worked in our favor because normally, I think I mentioned this, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but like we weren't really even eating a lot of extra junk food except for maybe the other night. But you know, we have one weeknight. Okay.
That's whatever. Fine.
Yeah. But we kept on a pretty good schedule for food. We weren't overeating. Like I didn't feel, maybe the most that like my stomach felt like super full is when I when I drank too much water.
Yeah.
But like the food itself, I never felt like I was gluttonous, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of us, like usually I feel mm-hmm. like what the norm is like you'll have a soup or something mm-hmm. and then you'll have like the main meal. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us, it's like we kind of just like slowed down because one, we're getting older. I can't handle feeling full every mm-hmm. single day like that. Like that's too much.
Yeah.
But I think it's just like prioritizing foods that actually nourish your body and give you the energy and the fuel that you need to continue on mm-hmm. with your ibadah, of course. So
we're all becoming, you know, health conscious out here, man. You see the new TikToks. Everybody's like, how to increase your fiber during Ramadan.
Yeah.
How to keep your satiation throughout the day.
Yeah. And you know what's kind of cool too is so I got like when I came back from Ethiopia, I got rid of my Apple. Well, I didn't get rid of it. I gave it away. But anyways, got rid of my Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. And I needed a new like something to track my fitness. And I was like contemplating a Garmin.
You gave away your Apple Watch?
I gave it to a cousin.
They asked me.
Yeah.
They did. Oh my god.
But I was like, I need a new tracker.
Yeah.
And so I contemplated getting the Oura Ring or the Ultra Human Ring, and I didn't like the fact that you have to pay for the app for the
I don't know how people like I know my sister wears the Oura Ring.
Yeah.
But like how do you even like work out in that?
You can. So this is the ring.
Oh, you have it.
Yeah.
You
literally
I got it.
This is the Ultra Human Ring.
But like when you have it on, because okay, I have my ring, my wedding ring, right?
Yeah.
But even when I'm working out, sometimes I have to take it off because maybe it's because I have the callus, but it like rips into my hand.
I think I'm doing, this like, is a like pull more up round. Yeah. I am gonna get like the silicone band though, because I can tell like the way that I'm gripping the dumbbells or something. Like I'm scared to scratch it, so I'm like kind of my grip isn't as good too. So I'm like, nah, I'm gonna mess up my form.
So they have a silicone cover, so it would even be thicker than that.
Like this is thinner than the Oura Ring. Mm-hmm. So like I've gotten used to it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like if you maybe have it on your index finger, mm-hmm. like it's kind of small on this one, so it hurts, but
I don't know. Maybe it's just me because I do have thicker callus. So like sometimes I get stuck in between.
It's okay. Let's just not bring attention to it.
Can't get it off. For those who can't see, Sara just put it on her other finger and it's not coming off.
It's okay. I'm just not going to panic. It's fine. Like I'll get it off eventually.
Just roll it slowly.
I won't even.
Oh my God. Really? Do you want me to go get some Vaseline?
It's fine.
You sure?
I got it.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah. Let me just put it on my mid where it fits. The reason why I brought this up was because the app has Ramadan mode.
Really?
Yeah. Because obviously my sleep gets interrupted now. And so what it does, it's really cool. It has like tips of like how to maximize.
Get back to sleep faster or something?
Not get back. Like, yeah, but also, hold on. Like, look, it says Ramadan Kareem. Why did I say it like that? Ramadan Kareem. Okay, anyways. Monitoring your HRV, which is your heart rate variance, I believe. Can't remember. Anyways.
Let's say it is.
Can provide insights into your stress levels and overall well-being. High variability. I can't read. I literally can't read. What's wrong with me?
Provide insights into your stress levels and overall well-being. High variability is a good sign of health and recovery.
It has like little like things about your like, oh, your body temperature was really high last night. Were you in a hot room? Were you stressed?
You're not even talking into the mic at this
point. My bad. Sorry, I was fixing my hijab. It'll like, you know, tell you like things about your sleep the night before or your stress levels or your heart rate, and it's really interesting.
I wonder if mine has that. I never checked if it even has that. I just know my sleep score has been trash for this month.
Oh, yeah. You know what's crazy, though?
What?
The sleep that I had.
Mm-hmm. Today?
This morning, I guess. I felt like I had a decent, like, it was good quality sleep. Mm-hmm. But it said it was only, like, 57%.
Yeah, because you're interrupting it, right? By, like, an hour or two. So I don't even know if it considers that a full sleep, even if it's that late. But
I guess.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did think about future-wise for Ramadan is, like, I'm thinking about like once you start having a family, it's like how does Ramadan change, right? Because you know that might be a possibility. Not saying that we're pregnant right now. I'm just saying
it's the way you're saying it.
Okay, I know, but like it might be a possibility in the near future, right?
Yeah, inshallah.
And like inshallah, but like I don't know if I should be sad, but like I don't know if I'm prepared yet because I feel like Ramadan's gonna be very different at that time. Like it won't be what we're currently doing right now. Like you might not get the chance to go and go to the mosque every night or even get the sleep that you not get the sleep but waking up in the middle of the night. Like you might already be awake because you have a kid that you're taking care of. So a lot is going to change for Ramadan when you have a kid. And I want to ask someone who actually has a kid, if you have a kid and you're listening to this podcast right now, leave it in the comments and let us know. Like when they were first born, when they were like in that first year or two age, like how did it change your habits during Ramadan? Because I need to know. I need more variables to be filled in here because it's very unknown to me right now.
You just adjust to that stage in your life.
Like, yeah, but like how does the adjustment happen? That's what I want to know.
You never feel fully ready. You kind of just figure it out as you go. But that's why they say like for example, if you're single, they say like do all the things that you want to do now before you are in a relationship and have to now like you're not only tending to the needs of the other person, but like before you have to make group decisions, do everything you want to do solo first, you know? And then when you do get married, it's like do everything that you guys want to do together before you have to the responsibility of pets or kids. And then when you have one kid, it's like do all the things you want to do with one kid before you got to lug around two kids or three kids or however many you have. And it's always like appreciate the present state that you're in before it changes and you're like, man, because there will come a time where we're gonna be with our future kids inshallah and we're like, man, remember those days when we could just like pick up and go wherever we wanted? Remember those times we'd like plan a random trip? So
yeah, that's as like that time, I don't know when it's gonna happen, but it now you start thinking about things like, oh, did we do that? Like, oh, okay, we should get all these trips out like out of our system before we actually make this happen.
But even when you do have kids, like your travels won't stop. They'll just look different.
Yeah, exactly. But that looking different means like you won't get to do all the things that you want to do because you got a kid to lug around.
Like, yeah, but you can still lug. Like, here's the thing: if you're traveling with
lug around in the most, you know,
positive you can tell we're not parents, obviously, the way we're talking about these kids. But you, like, if you're able to financially travel, well, mm-hmm. with a newborn, they're literally just an extra backpack. Like, you can wear your kid, literally.
Yeah, but then that's more crying than you're dealing with. You know, you're not relaxing as much, you know?
Yeah, but, mm-hmm. like, you're basically parenting in another country is what they say.
Yeah, and, like, it depends on the type of travel you are. Like,
yeah, if you're more, like, adventure.
But also, like, if you're someone who easily gets stressed when traveling.
Yeah, then I wouldn't, you know, recommend traveling with a kid.
Exactly.
Don't do that to yourself.
Exactly. If you're more laid back, like, you kind of, like, take things as they go, then I can see how that can work out in your favor. But if you're someone who, like, is it type A, where, like, you need everything to be kind of on schedule, yeah, then it can really throw you off and, like, you can't really experience it. You can't live in that experience like
but
you
I
want to.
But I think that's what new parents learn. Like, mm-hmm. even if you have a type A personality.
Yeah.
You think you run the household when you have a kid? Mm-hmm. Your child, your baby is the boss of the family now.
Mm-hmm. For real.
That's your new CEO. Yeah. You answer to them mm-hmm. on their schedule.
Yeah, so that's definitely been the biggest thing in my mind. Like, because now that Ramadan is nearing an end, like, for the next Ramadan. Because I always, every time Ramadan ends, I think about, like, where am I going to be on the next Ramadan?
Yeah. No, that's totally
right. Inshallah, fair. If we make it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I get that. Honestly, mm-hmm. though, like, you talk to my brother.
I guess so, yeah.
He'll give you the real deal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah. I guess for me, the reason that I'm, like, thinking about it more is because, like, I didn't really have a lot of these habits 5 years ago, right? Like, pre-COVID times. It only really started to build up post-COVID times, right? Mm. So it's like, you're just getting it now. You're just figuring it out. And then everything's going to change in a couple of years.
Yeah, that's true too.
So we'll see. Inshallah, we're able to figure it out.
You will.
Yeah.
And I think it also, like, I was talking to one of my friends about, like, the concept of having a village. Mm-hmm. I know that for a lot of, like, our parents, like, because as you guys know, we're children of immigrants. Like, mm-hmm. the concept of a village is so normal in Ethiopia and Harar specifically. Within the Harari community, you know? And so I feel like we have remnants of it, but I do feel like we need to do a better job at, like, maintaining the village, because I saw this one video and I was like, wow, that's such a interesting concept, like, such a interesting way of putting it.
Yeah.
But he was saying the cost of having a village is inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And at first I'm like, I don't get that. He gave an example and he was like, you can't just say, like, I want a village, I want people that will support me, without supporting them back. And part of supporting someone is sometimes you're going to have to be inconvenienced. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm like, oh my God, Amir, like, ugh, I have to go to the airport tomorrow. Can you please take me? And you're like, now I got to drive all the way to your house, pick you up, take you, sit in traffic. But, like, fine. Yeah. And then you'll, like, obviously, I know you do things without ever asking for something in exchange and vice versa. Like, we're family at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So that's a given. But you can feel. What? I thought you were making a face at the camera. Like,
oh no!
Yeah,
I
right.
was
like,
I was just looking. Steve is recording. No.
But, like, you can, like, rest assured that, like, you know that if you have a village and you're in a crisis, or even if it's, like, happy times, there are going to be people that back you up and support you, because you know that you've, like, paid your dues.
Yeah. Well, that could be easier. You know that the house prices are dropping. I'm just saying, man.
That's true.
If everyone wants to invest, you know, Canada might be a good spot, especially in, like, the next year. If they're going down, we're looking at these prices, man.
I know,
because it's, you're looking at them too, right? Yo, they're going down.
One of my friends is a real estate agent. Maybe I'll bring him on one time and he can talk about the market. But
yeah, well, that's half of our timeline, right? Or not timeline,
algorithm.
Our algorithm is just, like, real estate videos.
Same.
Yeah, because we didn't like, everyone knew it was gonna drop at some point.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping that, like, it continues to drop, because it is still pretty high. Yeah. But it's at least somewhat reasonable, you know, for people within our age bracket. I feel like for young people who still are, like, just starting on getting saved up, so I just hope that, you know,
it works in our favor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they actually build these houses that they say they're gonna build.
Us younger millennials, we've suffered long enough. Yeah, you know? Let us finally have a moment for us.
For real, I feel like we were in that awkward generation where, like, we kind of know we're in that middle. We know like the past, mm-hmm. and we're also like part of the future.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because we didn't grow up technically with the internet, but we grew up like as the internet was being made. So like we were developed by it, but like we weren't fully consumed by it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Like Gen Z is like fully consumed by it. Like they do not know a life without it.
Mm.
And they didn't have to figure things out like we did.
And like, you know what we are?
What? The experiment? Sorry. Go ahead. My bad. What? Go ahead. I was going to say
we're resourceful. Because we have to learn how to figure things out.
Yeah, because we were being experimented on. That's why.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. We are the experiment. Okay.
Yeah. Because we get a lot of shit from the boomers, man. And then Gen Z keeps making fun of us, you know.
I know.
It's fine. It's whatever. It's not, you know, I actually kind of threw that up very quickly. So
yeah,
but it's working out. Last week I was like blown out on the video. I hated it.
Yeah.
I was so sad.
Like, I feel like today it's a little bit more balanced.
Wow. Oh yeah. Now it's a lot more balanced.
My forehead is shiny. I guess I'm just extra moisturized.
At least you don't have the giant ring light anymore. Just like blasting your forehead.
But now it's just like full on. Wow. You know what? At least I don't have it.
That's
on my
the skincare
skin.
Routine side.
It
That's
is.
What it is.
Okay? I was using the moisturizer that was gifted to us by Aisha. Thanks, Aisha.
Which one?
The red one. The one.
Oh
size.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about these. I think my mom got it. You got it too, no? Yeah. Okay. Sephora yesterday to look at it. Oh yeah, we actually low-key went to like Sephora and like looked for her picture there, just see like is she pull up
is she
there? No, she's not there.
Really?
Maybe she was, but maybe on a different brand, because we didn't see her for that brand specifically. What brand was that again?
One size,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the dude who wears the hijab, Patrick Star.
It's not a
not Patrick Star.
Yeah, it is Patrick.
Is it Patrick Star? Yeah. That's the only way I remember him. What?
Okay, throwback. Okay, blast from the past. If you remember this one episode.
What? Our episode? Oh yeah.
We were like referencing something. Okay, yeah. We were talking about something, and then Amir was like, something, Patrick Starr.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of the makeup guy.
Yeah.
He's referencing SpongeBob.
We're both having completely different conversations.
And I'm looking at him like, what does that makeup guy, like, what does he have to do with anything?
And then, of course, as we're talking about this, the camera dies.
Yeah.
So, like, I spent like 4 days.
I remember
making
that.
A visual representation of what we were talking about, just in like, it almost looked like PowerPoint clips.
But it was like too good not to cut that out of the episode. So I'm going to link it. I think you can add it as like a little banner. Mm-hmm. Because
do you remember which episode that was?
I will find it.
Okay. She will find it.
It's in the archives. But it's mm-hmm. there. And I sometimes will go back and like whenever I want to cringe about us, mm-hmm. I'll go and watch like an old episode. And I'm like, oh, God, we've improved so much.
I know. Yeah.
But I will find it.
And we're going to improve more. Okay.
Don't Inshallah. We
Inshallah.
Will.
Yeah.
So back to what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Eid's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this is episode 199. I know some of you guys gave us some ideas in our past episode when mm-hmm. we asked for ideas of what to do for episode 200, but we need some more. Get creative. Mm-hmm. You know, by the time we post this, we'll have like 2 or 3 days turnaround to like put something together.
Yeah, if we don't,
don't be surprised if you see like a episode
like a what do you call it, a division, no, a fraction episode.
Yeah, like episode 199.2.
Don't call it out now. We'll figure it out.
I'm just saying,
okay?
Don't be surprised if we end up doing it.
You know, we were so focused on our ibadah.
Exactly.
For this Ramadan.
Exactly.
That we couldn't, you know, we didn't want to focus on anything else. So episode 200 will get its moment, but inshallah, you know, we'll get it sooner than later.
We'll try and do something authentic to us, but meaningful to you and meaningful to us, too.
Exactly. Okay. No, there's a lot going on, guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Time's flying out here. We're already 3 months into this year and
Crazy. It
doesn't feel like it. That's another, you know, sign at the end of times, guys. Time is flying. This Ramadan felt like nothing. Like when it comes to time wise, it felt like it started. And now we're already talking about it ending. Right.
Yeah. Crazy.
And today's actually going to be the 27th night as well.
Yeah.
Usually for me, like the 27th night is like kind of like the ending. And like the last couple nights are like the prologue, or not prologue. What do you call it? Like credits.
Mm.
It's like, okay, we're like, you know, this is the home stretch kind of thing. Like
yeah.
there is resolution. You've reached the climax and now you're just like getting into the last bit of the movies. You exactly. know when they do the flashbacks of the movie or tell you like where this person is at the end.
And it's like that song. Now I'm home.
Yeah, no. Sokhro. I swear that's a gospel song.
Is it?
I think it is. No. Yeah, it's like a gospel song.
I never even took that in.
But yeah.
Anyways.
What else? We don't even know what we're doing for Eid yet either. We can't even tell you what we're doing for that.
We were trying to plan earlier today. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to figure out something.
Should we vlog?
What? I don't know. I'm working that day, technically. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. That's the other thing, man. It's living in the West, like, y'all out there in, like, Muslim countries, I feel like you guys just get the day off. But out here, technically, I kind of getting the day off, sort of thing. But, like
working stuff,
yeah, but it's different. I'm trying to save them vacation days, man.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Fair. We should do some commentary.
Let's do that. Let's do some commentary.
Okay.
That's the one issue with, like, recording a couple days after we post is that, like, we don't give people enough time.
I know.
So, but the people who do post, those are the most loyal ones. So, shout out to y'all.
There were a lot of comments, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like, quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alt.
Can you not read the name? Let me read that.
Okay, that one. Read that one.
Oh, my God. Now I know why exactly.
Altina... anyway, I'm just going to read the comment if you recognize it. Sorry.
I'll pop it up. It's whatever.
Okay. It was such a good one, mashallah, especially in Ramadan. It's so nice that she is your listener. Also, in my mind, she represents your audience in general, because this is what I think people from your audience are like. Kind, smart, striving to be a good Muslim, and funny. That's nice.
And I'm pretty sure all of you guys are like that too, man. Shout out to the audience. Shout out to all the listeners. Everybody listening to this or watching this right now.
Mm.
Except for the ones who didn't subscribe. Make sure you subscribe. I'm going to talk about that later.
This one's from Anissa 5052. Mashallah, this was a refreshing episode. And in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, may Allah bless you guys and Sister Maryam for her passion and knowledge. Ameen. I needed this episode, and I'm sure it will light a fire in others to seek knowledge, inshallah, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, Sara, where is your abaya from? I was trying to remember. I saw your comment. I was intending to respond in this episode. I think, and I don't shop there anymore, but I'm like, it's from like 5 years ago or more, from like Shein. You can find other ones from like random modest websites.
Mm-hmm. Buy local too, guys.
Yeah, or like
look for your local Muslim shop. I guess depending on where you are, but. Yeah. A lot of times you can find some pretty good deals locally.
That is true. I keep getting different TikToks now for like stores in Toronto. And I'm like, I should check that out this week.
Yeah.
Okay, this one is from Rifa. Hey, Sara and Amir. This is my first comment after being a loyal listener to you guys for years now. Hey, Rifa. Can I just say thank you for having... Oh, her name is Maryam, not Shah, but get it. Thank you for having Maryam on your podcast. As an Afghan myself, her personality and perspective on current and existing issues have been very refreshing and inspiring. Love the culture fusion and neutral outlook on this episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and glad that you have been part of the family, and now you've made yourself known to the rest of the cousins.
Yeah, and I think, was she, I'm trying to think about it now, is she like the first person we ventured out of outside of like the East African community specifically?
No.
When it comes to guests?
No, we had Marlon and...
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, like, in the Muslim community.
In the Muslim community?
Because she gave, like, a very different perspective. Like, usually we're coming from, like, the Habesha perspective, I guess.
Well, we had, like, earlier days, we had, what's his name? Was he a therapist or something?
When you have this many episodes, you start to forget.
His name was Ibrahim.
Yeah, I remember him, but, like, wasn't he? Is he African as well?
He was, like, Egyptian and something.
Oh, okay.
He was Muslim, too. And then there was that guy from the UK. Who? Mizan. I think his name was Mizan.
Oh, yeah.
Did we have an episode, or were we just on his podcast?
We were on his podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we had a full episode with them either.
Yeah, and then there was the episode with the Huddle Talk guys that never saw the light of day.
Oh yeah,
when we were on their channel. But
yeah, I lost the footage.
Thanks,
man.
Khaled.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't lose the footage.
No, yeah, they lost it and then never recovered it, and then we never went back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest are all like, you know, very inspirational. Love this great episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone made dua for us. Thank you guys so much for the positive feedback. And Maryam, if you're listening again, it was an honor to have you on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll have more future, like we'll have more of our listeners, mm-hmm. you know, doing collaborations with us. That would be really cool.
If you have something interesting to bring,
send me a DM.
Got you. We got a seat for you. Okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, if you guys like this episode, you know what to do. Subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button. Leave a comment down below. Also, follow us, Cousin Connection Pod, on mm-hmm. Instagram and TikTok. And we're going to go and break our fast soon. But other than that, we'll see. Oh, yeah. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
And we'll see y'all next week. Bye. Bye.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.